Welcome all the gamers to the All The Gaming Podcast. The podcast is all about the discussion of video games and other gaming topics. I am Dale White, the advocate for insanity. We've got another great episode for you this week because, you know, hey, Easter's coming up and we're going to talk about Easter eggs. You know, honestly, whenever I was planning out the idea for this, I didn't even really think about the fact that Easter was coming soon until one of my guests here today pointed that out. So anyway, getting to my guests on this awesome, well, these two awesome guests that I have on this podcast. Hopefully it'll be an awesome podcast. I may have gotten ahead of myself just a little bit. Well, two really amazing returning guests. You heard them laugh just a little bit there. I loved having them both on the first time around, so getting them both back and now together, something that is really exciting for me. So welcome back to the podcast. First of all, Fishy956, welcome back. How's it going?
Hey, it's not too bad. Absolute pleasure to be back here. And I'm excited. We got some Easter eggs and Easter's coming. And I just met this other guy 5 minutes ago and I already love him. So we're going to have a good time.
See, I knew you two were going to get along well. I knew this was going to be a great, great pair here. And of course, my other guest coming back to the podcast once again, always late for dinner, Jermo Blah.
Oh, no. What did I say? I'm not late for dinner, please.
Not just late for dinner, but I had to emphasize always.
Always late for dinner. Oh, it's always nice to be back here. It's always nice to see you, Dale. Nice to talk to you. Nice hanging out with you. And it was awesome to meet Fishy. Like he said, five minutes before the show, it was just like totally hit it off and just excited to do this Easter egg show.
Absolutely. I am excited. Of course, before we get started here, if you want to support the podcast, the best way you can support any podcast that you really like is honestly just tell somebody. At the end of the day, podcasts live and die by word of mouth. So, hey, if any podcast you like, especially this one, you know, tell somebody about it. Just one person, you'd be amazed how much telling one person how far that would go. Like I said, not just for this one, any podcast that you really like, you would help them a lot to grow just by telling somebody. But if you do want to support another way, of course, we have the All The Gaming merch store. And as Fluff said, and as I was, you know, informed right before we started recording, you know, I have to go back to using Sir Fluffy Snugglebutt's voice again. Go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
Yes. So, guys, how's it going today?
It's going. It's going. I'm feeling good. Feeling happy. Looked up some of my old favorite games, and I'm happy to talk about them. Always.
All right. Well, let's get started here. And I guess, you know, just right off the bat, what are some of your favorite Easter eggs in games? Fishy.
Okay. Well,
take it from here.
Yeah. So I went big right away. So I was looking into some of the Easter eggs I've encountered over the years, and a big one always came to mind that I didn't really consider an Easter egg until I started looking into it. On the GameCube, if you hold down the Z button while booting up, it plays a little bit of a different sound. It's like a kid's toy kind of bouncing around instead of the classic GameCube logo startup sound.
Yeah.
that's the one.
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite for sure. And there's also another secret one. If you plug in four controllers to the GameCube and you hold Z on all of them, there's another boot up sound. Oh,
really?
That
I didn't know about that one. Mm-hmm. I've heard the one with just pushing it on one controller. I don't think mm-hmm. I've ever heard, which I only ever had three GameCube controllers. So
you You'd be surprised, like, how many people don't actually know that that's a thing. I didn't know that until recently because, you know, who would ever think to hold Z on the startup? You know, hold Z on the startup. Like, I'm just going to go straight into a game. I'm going to go play Super Mario Sunshine. What do I care? But it's called...
But no, I found it by accident the first time. Seriously, I was just like, I was holding my controller funny because I had to, I forgot exactly why, but I was like just holding it with one hand. Because I was doing something with the other hand when I guess just pushing the power button. Now that I think about it, that's what I was probably doing with the other hand. I was pushing the power button. That makes sense now. And I remember hearing it sound different. I was like, wait a second.
You thought you broke it, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, that's different. I think I may have also been like trying to mess around with a game case or something. I don't know. It's been a long time ago.
It's 20 years old now. 21 years old now, the GameCube. It is a little crazy.
But seriously, I didn't know there was a different one with all four. I'm gonna look this up now because I've never seen that one.
Yeah, definitely look it up. It's a cool one. It's and like you guys said, it's kind of hard to get four controllers all being pressed down at the same time. You'd pretty much need to have a friend, or you gotta be really flexible or something.
I don't know how you
do that.
Or be like Shaq and have really big hands.
Just have big hands. That's all.
You do it all. Hold down all four Z buttons just with one hand.
Mm-hmm. If someone can do that, I would love to see it. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Send in your pictures.
Shaq may legitimately be able to do it, but I don't know how many other people could pull that off. What about you, Jerma? What's one of your favorite Easter eggs in games?
Oh God. There's just been so many. Some I found by accident, some of them actually, you know, through word of mouth, I found out about. One of my favorites has to be, and Fish, you might actually remember this too, because we were just briefly talking about it, in Call of Duty Zombies, there's a sequence that you can do to get certain songs to play. You had Avenged Sevenfold that played in some of the Zombies maps. You had, like, Elena Sigmund that had some songs that played in some of the maps, like Kino Der Toten, the first zombie map from Black Ops. Was that Black Ops 2?
Kino, I think that's Black Ops 1.
Black Ops 1, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You go around to different parts on the map, and there's four asteroids that you got to go touch, per se. They're a little bit out of the way, but you go find them, you touch them. After you find those four asteroids, you get the song that plays, and in almost every map, it was just such an invigorating feeling, like, hey, I did something cool, and now I have this awesome song that really hypes me up and really gets me pumped to play this. Like, when you're sitting in a lobby of four people, I actually enjoy the music that's being played. You just go hard.
Yep.
You just go way harder than you normally would. And you'd be surprised on what it does to that group of people that you're playing with. Like the communication, like just the gameplay overall just goes through the roof. It feels awesome.
Yeah, no, the music, when I was playing Zombies in Black Ops 1, the music would be a viable strategy in getting a higher round. We would save the music until it started getting hard. We'd go to the asteroids and activate them, or especially if we were on the second map, 5, and the music in that one was the Eminem and Pink song. Oh my God.
Yes.
Guaranteed 5+ rounds every time that music was activated. And it's funny you mentioned that right away, because we were just talking about Call of Duty, and I have my list of Easter eggs. I went and found a bunch and I wrote them all down. And for most of them, if not all of them, I specified like this game and what the Easter egg was. For Black Ops, I just put Black Ops because the whole game is full of Easter eggs. It's just absolutely packed full of them.
Absolutely. It's so incredible. It's so awesome. I think another one, maybe I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I think I remember, was that World at War that was on the Macon Beach? There was a certain sequence that you had to do on the Macon Beach. It was like there was these holes in the sand that you had to run and dive into. And once you got to the final hole that you run and dive into, the ray gun appears from the ground.
Oh yeah.
Like you had to do it right away. You had to do it so fast. because either A, you were going to get taken out by the gunners up on the hill, or B, you're just not doing it fast enough and you can't get the ray gun. But man, did that make that whole part of that story go by so fast.
And that's that the first little mission too.
Yes. And it was like, it was so out of the way, but it made it so worth it. It made it so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Call of Duty is fantastic for the Easter eggs. A big one from Black Ops 1, going off yours there. The entire main menu is an Easter egg.
Yes.
You can break out of the chair in Black Ops and that's an Easter egg. Then you can go to the computer behind the chair and then you can access like four more Easter eggs there. One of them being the ability to play the old game Zorg inside the Black Ops 1 main menu. It's fantastic.
That was so fun. Once you finally got like a little bit of, once you found out what it did and you went online, and you're like, what is this game? Mm-hmm. You found out like the text commands, it was strangely fun. It was weird because it's like a text-based adventure, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, no, I hate text-based adventures usually, I did back then, and wrapping this text-based adventure in a Black Ops wrapper made it a lot more fun, and I think it got a couple more people into text-based adventures in the oldies just from that little Easter egg they threw in, and you had to do it to get all these zombies maps unlocked if you didn't want to play the whole campaign on Veteran. I think you might have had to have done.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's honestly, it's something about just that little bit of effort that you have to put in to make something so much more worth it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's that whole game was lovingly made. There's so many we could make a whole podcast on just Black Ops Easter eggs.
Yeah,
free zombie map.
This is amazing for me just sitting here listening because I've never been a Call of Duty player at all. It just hearing you guys totally nerd out about this is like, all right, this is pretty cool. See, that's why I love having both of you on, because you guys are just so enthusiastic about all of this stuff. It's amazing.
Oh, and thank you. It's been a pleasure coming back and talking to you, Dale, and you as well. A new challenger has arrived, Jeremy. It's good to talk to new people and discuss some games, what we might have in common, what we don't have in common, and what we can learn from each other. It's always cool.
Absolutely, Fishy. I agree. It's such a great time getting a chance. Like I said, just getting a chance, or like you said, just getting a chance to talk to somebody new and actually just learn. You know, just learn something that you don't know.
So I want to get to probably my favorite game for its Easter eggs has to be Super Mario RPG on the Super Nintendo. With some of the weird things that are hidden in that game, especially references to other Nintendo games. At one point, you can find Samus sleeping in the bed in the castle. Or there's another place where you can actually find Link sleeping in a bed in like a hotel room. Or there is like toys of an R-Wing. And I think also like one of the F-Zero cars as well, I believe.
Yes. I think it's in one of the inns that's on the bookshelf. Yeah.
And I think they're... I believe it's like in the one that's inside the volcano, I think.
You know, it's been a hot minute since I played that one, but I think you're right. It's either in the volcano or up in the clouds. I can't remember now, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it hasn't been too long since I replayed that game just because I love it so much. But there's also other weird things in that game. Like there's an alternative currency in the game, frog coins. And there's one particular frog coin that you can only get at one point in the game if you do something right. Whenever you first go into the castle in the Mushroom Kingdom, and there's a toad that's like escorting you into like the throne room. To get this one frog coin, you have to jump on top of the toad's head and then jump on top of like a black void area that's over a doorway and then jump and hit an invisible item block that gives you a frog coin. It's like the weirdest place that you can only get if you do this one thing right at one very specific part of the game. And if you miss that, you can never get that coin.
Jeez. Oh my, the amount of effort sometimes. And you know what? Maybe it's worth it. Because isn't there something, if you get all frog coins, isn't there like some end game item that makes it worth it.
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever collected every single frog coin in a game.
We have to know for science if somebody has done it. I'm sure there is. Please let us know.
Yes.
Reach out for sure. Which I don't know. I know you can, I believe you may be able to get multiple frog coins, like repeat frog coins at the river. I think Midas River is the name of it. I think you may be able to get, I'm not sure there's a limit there. Because I think if you replay that, you can actually get more. I'm not sure, though. It's been a little while.
Yeah, I think you might be, I think you might be right. Or maybe it was the last time I tried. The last time I tried playing it, I thought they just turned into regular coins.
That might be true. I don't remember because I never went back and like redid the routes that I had already done because a section is kind of slow.
Oh.
It's fun to see each section once, but going through it a second time is just kind of eh.
Speedrunner's worst nightmare right there.
Backtracking. We hate it.
Yeah.
You know, I just... I was also kind of reminded when you mentioned the GameCube one, and I didn't even think of this when I was like trying to come up with things to talk about it, but it kind of reminded me like back on the Nintendo DS, the first DS. If it was your birthday, whenever you turned it on, it would have a much higher pitch sound.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I still do that on my birthday because I just want to hear it to... Because yeah. When your birthday comes around, yeah, I have like this game checklist. I'll jump into all my Animal Crossing games. I'll jump into Metal Gear Solid 5 and get the little birthday cake. And yes. I'll turn my DS on and I'll get the little ding, ding, ding. And I'll be like, it's my birthday today. And it just kind of caps it all off.
See, the funny thing about that was, is I first got my DS on my birthday. So there was a day there where I just assumed that was the default.
Perfect.
And then the next day it went to the other. It's like, oh, that's not how it sounded yesterday. And then it didn't sound that way again until the next year rolled around.
Huh.
It's like, oh, there's that sound again.
Yep.
Oh, I get it now.
It's awesome.
My dog is attacking me, if you're wondering here.
I was trying to figure out what was going on.
What's your dog's favorite Easter egg?
Yeah.
One she can eat.
True. That's a good one.
Who doesn't love that Easter egg?
Yeah, it's like the OG, the original Easter egg. It's an actual egg. Oh man, another good one I have here. And this is a bit of a spooky one too. In if you've played it in Dead Space, this is a really cool one.
Yes.
If you look at the first letter of every chapter in that game, it spells out a spoiler. And I don't know if I should be spoiling Dead Space. I know it's an old game, but they're doing a remake soon. But if you want to look into it, the first letter of every chapter, it spells out three different words that kind of reveals what happens at the end of the game. And it's both really cool and kind of creepy. It's almost like the scariest thing that game does, because it's the only time the game breaks out of itself and becomes kind of like a fourth wall break meta thing. And it's almost like the game is trying to creep you out and not Isaac. It's very, very interesting. I love that one a lot.
That one was super creepy to figure out, because you look at it and it's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
It was there the whole time and I just never noticed it. It's scarier that way. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
For an already creepy enough game.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a good game too.
So good. I can't wait for that remake. It's one of my highest anticipated games for sure.
It's already looking so good.
Oh man. Just add ray tracing to the original Dead Space. It already looks fantastic.
Yes. Let's go. Agreed.
I remember that game was really cool because you could see the little lights coming out of your suit and it would like project onto the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like a 2008 360 game. Like that was advanced tech back then. I know it was probably just faked and it wasn't actual ray tracing. Obviously it wasn't. But it's just a cool like little bonus. I was on the podcast last time and I kind of spent almost the whole time talking about Metroid. I love Metroid and my favorite game of all time is Metroid Prime. So Dead Space ticks all of the boxes I love. It's atmospheric, it's sci-fi, you're in a suit, there's like lights, there's aliens, it's perfect. I love it. And it's, I know we're not even talking about Easter eggs now, but like that Easter egg just adds to it, adds to the magnificence of that game, and hopefully we get that back with the remake.
Oh, absolutely. You know they're going to have to do something. Mm-hmm. You know people are going to start looking for it now that you put it out there.
Yeah, they have to, or else it'd be a disappointment. All the games only a 9 out of 10. Yeah, we docked a mark because they didn't do the chapter thing.
Yeah.
You know, hearing you say that, that's a really good segue into something I kind of wanted to talk about here. Mm-hmm. Wasn't just, you know, just listing off a bunch of our favorite Easter eggs, but also kind of getting into, you know, what exactly Easter eggs can do for a game, how they can enhance them in certain ways.
You know, I honestly have been thinking about that one for a bit. And, you know, from most of the Easter eggs that I found in my personal experience, they don't really add too much to the game. Like, it doesn't break the game. It doesn't do too much more other than just show the passion that the developers had with the project,
right,
that they had with the game. They included, you know, certain hidden messages, make you see, hey, you know, this is who worked on this project. Like, I looked up one, and there was what was the original inventor for the Atari. It actually showed the guy's name instead of just the initials. Like, mm-hmm. He was proud of this project. He wanted his name to be in there. But like, you know, they wanted to show like special music that could be part of the game. They wanted to show like, you know, something that was worth your time, right? Maybe it didn't add value, but it was like, I did something. I kind of went around trying to looking for something that was different. You know, it didn't really add anything to the game, but you know, I did something cool. I did something different. Maybe something fun. You know, maybe that was just my experience with it. I mean, if we look at just to go back to one of the Easter eggs, like Metal Gear Solid 3, when you go through the torture chamber and you get that point to save.
Mm-hmm.
Most didn't know, like, if you reset your console, like turn it off, turn it back on, you go in through this nightmare sequence. It was named Guy Savage, which is like this generic name, but it was like this, it almost had this Devil May Cry feel to it, because you're this guy that ran around killing these undead demons, or these undead zombies and these demons in like this nightmarish world. Right. It didn't add anything to the game. It was just one of those really strange offshoots that you could do. You could experience. It wasn't part of the game. Didn't add anything to the game. You didn't get anything out of it. But, you know, it was kind of different to see. It was kind of cool to do. Kind of cool to have. And it just made you think, huh. Yeah, that was kind of fun. That was kind of different.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. No, Metal Gear Solid 3 was one I had a lot of Easter eggs on too. And mm-hmm. I remember encountering that as a bit of a younger one there. And me and my dad were playing and I saved, turned it back on. And I thought something was broken with the PS2. Like I was fully scared and I didn't know what was going on. And I just saw the traumatic torture scene and I was feeling something different. But I think you touched on it there. I think the Easter egg concept, I think it enhances the user experience. I think as a player, it like makes you feel like, oh, cool, that added that. Oh, that's cool. It's a little extra. I don't think not including Easter eggs takes away from a game, but I think including them is a good way to show the developer's passion and to kind of add some loving details to a game. It's sort of like a little mark of like, hey, I made this. I'm proud of this. Here's a little Easter egg, and whether it's like a small one, like those little monkey cavemen guys in Halo 3 that you find if you jump a certain height on the first level, or it's a really big one, like, hey, in Metal Gear Solid 3, if you save your game during this boss fight and then wait a week, he dies out of old age. Like, it's wow. Like, stuff like that just truly takes the game. And I guess there is a difference in Easter egg quality between those two, but I think the common thread between all these games we're talking about is they're all really fondly thought of games. They're all like not all, like, I wouldn't say masterpieces for every single one, but I'd say they're all like up there and beloved games. And I think those Easter eggs either add to it or are there because they're already so lovingly crafted.
Right. And I mean, at most, if you think about it, it creates, it just creates that discussion like we're having now, like between a group of friends. It's just
absolutely,
you can talk about it and say like, hey, did you find this? Did you experience it? It's like, no, I didn't. Or yeah, I did. That was so cool. What'd you think of it? You know, it, like at most, or even at the absolute least, I should say, that's what it creates. And that's sometimes that is the added value.
Oh, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah. The discussion, games are very social. They're always more fun when you have other people there to experience them with you. I think that's maybe my number one favorite thing about streaming in general is I can play these normally single player games with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you just get that chance to connect with people and just talk about what was your favorite experience? What did you like? What did you dislike? Yeah. It's just so cool.
The discussion. And that's what this podcast is about. The discussion. Right. It's a standing test of it.
It just hit me, honestly, thinking about that, thinking about how Easter eggs can really lead into discussion between people outside of the game. I almost wonder if maybe at times developers may put Easter eggs in games as even something of a marketing tactic just to get people to talk about the game more.
I could see that for sure. With some of these, some of these are very crossovery. Where, like a good example is the first time I played a Witcher game, I played Witcher 2 on the 360. And in the first like hour of that game, there is an Easter egg where you see an assassin that has jumped and landed on a hay bale and died. And so he's wearing the assassin's cloak. It's sort of like a, like, hey, if you're an Assassin's Creed fan, you're going to look at this and be like, hey, that Witcher 2 has an Assassin's Creed Easter egg. I should check out Witcher 2 now. And I could see that. And then even being more broad, like an Easter egg that gets onto maybe a meme or social media, then people who have never seen or heard of this game before are going to look at that and say, hey, I want to try that out. That game has something in it that makes me happy, and it calls back to something I love or my nostalgia, and then they go from there. 100%.
Yeah. How many different games have referenced the arrow to the knee meme?
Too not many. Enough. And oh yeah, there you go.
Differing opinions. Now we're opposing.
You guys just talking over each other gave two like absolutely opposite takes. There, it was great.
That's why we're here.
You know, it's differing, but it's still going to be used. It's the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. It's the best meme ever.
Because it's sort of transcended a meme now. It's sort of just a dumb thing now that every game has to have.
Yep.
It's like the when you're a coder, the first thing you're supposed to type out is hello world when you're making your first line of code or first code that's supposed to appear somewhere visually. And now if you make a game, you got to have a character with an arrow sticking out of their knee or it's not an official game.
It's right up there with it's dangerous to go alone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what are some more of your favorite Easter eggs? I know you guys both have a lot, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a good one, because this actually kind of bounces off of the last podcast I was a part of. I talked about Metroid Dread almost the whole time and how I was excited about it doing well, and it did. So that's something good. But a really cool thing about that is in Metroid Prime 3, all the way back in 2007 on the Wii, there was a little scan you could go and find near the last bit of the game there. And it would reference that Project Dread was nearing completion. So that was back when Metroid Dread was supposed to be a Nintendo DS game. Metroid Prime 3 was referencing Project Dread all the way back then. And it was sort of like this, oh, they were making it. Oh, maybe it was just a retro studio cheeky joke. Oh, this, oh, that. Now it's out. And that makes that Easter egg so much more interesting because that Easter egg is sort of predicting something that was going to come out in 13, 14 years. Very, very cool.
You ever think that they use some of those Easter eggs as like a reference to the newer games that they make? Like, do you think they actually plan to create like an actual Metroid Dread? Like they just said, oh, well, we didn't make it back then. Let's definitely take that name and use it for this new game. Like they did with obviously Metroid Dread. Do you ever think that they actually plan that?
With Dread specifically, I mean, that game has been in development and then what canceled like twice over before it ever actually came out. So I think with that one specifically, it's entirely possible it was in development at least the original, what was going to be the original release of it before it was canceled. So it's entirely possible that the Metroid Prime 3 developers just knew about that. But in other cases, maybe. I do wonder if maybe there have been sequels made just because of things like little quirky things like that in games.
Yeah, I definitely think it helped. I think having that Easter egg in there added to this like elusive Dread, Project Dread, that was supposed to be coming out. And I think, I think that and the other leaks and all that, I think eventually pushed that game to be just Metroid Dread. Like maybe they were thinking that would be a project name and or a test name, and they weren't going to use it. But then they saw the memes and all the people talking about it, and they're like, hey, it's in Prime 3. It was on the DS at one point. Let's just call it Metroid Dread. Let's give the fans what they want. So I think it might not have been the deciding factor, because Dale was saying, it was already in development there. But I think it absolutely kept the spark alive that eventually pushed that game out.
Absolutely. You know, and then just trying to think back to another one of my favorite Easter eggs. I don't know how much you want to call it an Easter egg, but going back to Metal Gear Solid 1, when you have that sequence with Psycho Mantis, where he's like, I'm going to read your mind.
Oh, so goes, good.
Oh, so creepy, because it's like, how do you know the games I'm playing? Obviously, because Kojima was like, you know, it's not that hard to just read your memory card. The data's already there, bud. But like, just to have him go through your memory card, and if sometimes he'd bring up like certain games. What was on the GameCube version of Twin Snakes, they brought up, was that Wind Waker? It was like one of the sequences was, I see a Legend of Zelda fan. I don't know if that was Wind Waker or was if it was the Ocarina of Time disc, or if it was either one, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
There was that one that always kind of blew my mind. And then there was the other one, well, especially as a young kid, it was one of those things where it's like, put your controller on the floor. And he's like, you know, I'm going to move your controller with my mind. And he just turned on the vibration. You're like, how is he doing that? Obviously, it's vibration. Like, it's a simple line of code that they put in. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you're just like, what is going on? How are you able to do this? This is sorcery. How dare you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, just
no, that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. No worries. No. And that actually that opens up an interesting discussion, because you said at the beginning you didn't know if it was an Easter egg, and I think the reason why you were curious if it might have been one is because it's unavoidable. Does an Easter egg need to be hidden for it to be an Easter egg? That's interesting.
That was definitely like one thing that always for the longest time it always bothered me. That's a great question. Because, yeah,
I guess that really depends. Because especially the memory card one, I think you may have an argument to say that that is just because that's entirely dependent on what is on your memory card. So if you have nothing else on there, you know, that's the only game you have save data for, then you're not going to get those references to the other games. But if you do, and you might get references to other games, and depending on what you have and what's programmed into it, your references may be different. So different players may see something different in that point. So I could say that, yes, but like probably the controller thing, maybe not so much if everybody sees that.
Mm-hmm. So you think an Easter egg is sort of like a little hidden nugget that you have to either go out of your way or stumble upon? You think that's, because I don't think there's like an agreed upon definition, but I guess that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very loose definition. I agree with that, Fishy. It's just how does one determine it's an Easter egg?
Yeah,
I mean, to your point, it can be avoidable if you don't have a memory card put in your console. And then you get a completely different set of lines from Psycho Mantis, you know, saying that you're reckless, you haven't saved, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have your memory card installed and you save a few times, he gives you a bunch of different lines after that.
Mm-hmm. And then there are multiple ways to beat him, right? Too, like, you can call Colonel and he'll tell you to put the controller in a control port too, which is really cool. But there is like another way. I think that actually, no, I think in the original you have to, but in the Twin Snakes on the GameCube, I think you can shoot the statues, and then once they're all crumbled, then you can hurt him. So I guess it's like, it's loosely balancing on the line of Easter egg where like it, some of it is missable, but some of it isn't. And I would absolutely say the memory card stuff, and the, I guess the amount you save too, would also be a bit of an Easter egg. It's interesting. That's why I love that Psycho Mantis one. Cause I put that one on my list too, as a question mark. Because it's straddling the line. And I think that's an important thing to discuss when you're talking about anything, really, is the definition of it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a really good question. I didn't even think of that when I was writing down notes for this. I mean, I would say, just based on what you think of when you think of the word Easter egg, not just necessarily in connection with games, but like you think of like kids going out and hunting Easter eggs, you know, them being hidden, so you have to go and find them. And in a way, that's true to a certain extent about the, you know, the memory card thing, because in order to, that if you wanted to find, say, all of the lines there, you'd have to track down all of the different games that can be referenced and then somehow have data for them on your memory card at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's interesting. Yeah. Thinking of it as an actual egg that you find on Easter.
Right. Which goes back to how you started this. It's ironic that Easter's coming up, isn't it? And you wanted to have an Easter egg discussion.
Right.
Happy Easter, everybody.
And then we're recording this on April Fool's Day. So
yeah. We're just joking.
Actually, getting into that, the reason I had thought to do an episode on Easter eggs is I was thinking about different ideas to do for quick thoughts. And one of the ideas that kind of popped into my head was talking about Totaka's song, which honestly is one of the most interesting Easter eggs out there in gaming, in my opinion, because it's not just a single Easter egg in a single game. It's an Easter egg in a lot of different games that can be found in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you've, in certain games, it's kind of creepy. Even the sound of Totaka's song, even in like the Animal Crossing games, there's just something eerie about it.
Yeah, that one's an interesting one for sure.
And basically, I'll say this too. I have hidden Totaka's song in a previous episode of this podcast.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
That's so meta.
As far as I know, nobody has ever found it or mentioned anything. It's like, hey, you had that in there in this episode. It wasn't referenced. Nothing in that episode talked about it. The reason I put it in there is because we had talked about a specific game that has that in there. And I'm going to leave that as a mystery because I want somebody to find it and reach out and tell me what episode and what, give me a timestamp. And I'm going to throw this out there. Here's an Easter egg hunt for you. If you can tell me what episode, the episode number, and give me a timestamp, I will buy you a $20 or $25, whichever one I can, for a card for whatever console of your choosing to buy whatever game you want. Or an alternative to that, if you want to come on as a guest on this podcast and pick the topic, you can do that also.
That is worth more. That is worth more than that card that you're talking about.
So, let's see if someone can find this. So, hit me up on Twitter at allthegaming1. We'll go to the official account and tweet us # Easter egg hunt with the episode number and the timestamp. And if you get it right, the first person to do that will win that prize.
This is genius. This is genius. You're saying on April 1st, on April Fool's Day, we're recording this.
Whatever this goes out, it won't be April Fool's Day.
No, but like for us here, for me and right. Jeremy here, it's April Fool's. We're talking about Easter eggs, and Easter's coming up, and in the podcast we're on right now, there is an Easter egg that you planned all the way back then that is now being a hashtag now. This is crazy.
And I'm not going to mention how old this episode was.
Oh,
what number it's, you know, it's totally going to be a mystery.
That is sneaky, and I love it.
That's my new favorite Easter egg. You
did
it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm for reference, I'm going to edit in a version of Sotaka's song. So you'll be hearing it in the background right now, but it will be a different version from the one that is hidden in the previous episode. Not to make it too obvious.
No, I was going to say, I'm waiting for people to say, I found it in the newest episode. No, that's not what he said.
No, it's an older episode, so let's see if somebody can find this. But have the two of you guys encountered Totaka's song in the past?
You know,
I don't think I have, no.
I had to go back. When you mentioned it, I had to go back and listen to it. I think the only time that I may have found it by total accident was Mario Paint. I didn't even know that's what it was called. You know, obviously as a young kid, when you're on the Super Nintendo, you're just kind of clicking around on just random things with the SNES mouse. Just like, oh, this does something different. Like, there's a couple different things that happen in Mario Paint, and you don't know, like, at the opening screen, you click on certain things on Mario Paint, they do different things.
Yes.
And I actually just revisited that recently, because I ended up getting a SNES mouse. I was just, like, clicking around on certain things, like, huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember, like, different things on the title screen doing different things.
The title screen of Mario Paint is amazing.
Yeah, especially for something that was what, 1990? Is that 1990? Or was that 91?
I think it may have been 91. It was pretty early on in the Super Nintendo's lifespan, I believe.
And it was just
only a couple of games, or I guess programs, that even used the mouse pad.
It was, yeah, there's a handful, and most of them were just like, there were some strange titles. Some of them were just Japanese-based titles, but I know Mario Paint was definitely one that was, it was required.
That's the only one I ever played was Mario Paint to use the mouse pad.
So I think that was the only time that I can ever think of hearing that song, and maybe I just clicked there, it was like, I don't know what this is. It just kept going.
It was like it was specifically the bomb on the title screen. Actually, I think it may have been the O in Mario. That may not be the right letter, because each letter in the title Mario Paint did something totally different if you clicked on it.
Yep, I remember that much. But I think you're right. You make me want to go fire up my Super Nintendo right now, in the middle of the podcast, just to find out, because it's bothering me. It's just like. It did it at some point, but you know, as a young kid, you're just like, if you don't really have much of attention span, you're just clicking through stuff like, oh, cool, that did something. Next, maybe that was just me because I wanted to go on and see like, what does this do? What does that do? Ooh, cool. What does this do?
Yeah, speaking of Mario Paint, that actually led to another one of my favorite Easter eggs, because in Mario Paint there was this mini game where you're swatting bugs with a fly swatter, which is weirdest thing. There, Mario Paint in and of itself really isn't a game so much as it's software that is on the Super Nintendo, but it does have a game in it where you are swatting bugs.
That was the best part, honestly, that I can remember of Mario Paint.
And there is an Easter egg in the first Mario Maker where if you shake certain stuff, bugs, like these little flies, will fly out, and if you swat, like, you click on them, it'll swat them. And if you kill, like, three of them, then all of a sudden, that old fly swatting game from Mario Paint will start playing. You can play it in Mario Maker.
You know, that's never, so cool.
that's never going to get old. You know, they're going to reuse that.
I wish they had put that back in Mario Maker 2. I was upset when I realized that was
No.
But yeah, Totaka's song is really interesting because it's in a lot of different games. It was also, I think, Mario Paint, I believe, may have been the first game it was ever in. It was either the first or the second. And either the second or third game, like right after Mario Paint, that had it in it was Link's Awakening on the Game Boy. And in that game, I forgot exactly what it was. There was two different versions of it. And you got them in that game by naming yourself. I forgot exactly what it was. There was two different names you could input when you put in your name, and it would play Totaka's song on the the main menu screen. And that's they so cool. brought that back for the Switch remake.
Did they really?
Yes.
Wonder how many people actually went back and tried to revisit that.
Well, I mean, the reason for it being called Totaka's song was the composer. I'm blanking on his first name right now for some reason. But he was the composer for basically all the games that it's in were games that he was the composer for. So he would add this little thing in and they would put it in the game for him. And he's also who KK Slider from the Animal Crossing games is based on. And he's also the composer for most of the Animal Crossing games. And in some of them, one of the songs that KK Slider can play is Totaka's song.
That's meta. That's a few layers deep.
That sounds like all Yeah. That's a random chance too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. I think I've heard it in on the Switch Animal Crossing New Horizons. I think it can be played randomly on the radio in that game, just at times. I know it's been like in a couple of the Luigi's Mansion games. I think one of them it was like on a pause menu if you like waited. I think it was in Yoshi's Story on the in 64. I can't remember where it was in that particular game. And let's see, I'm trying to remember where else this has appeared without looking it up here, because I could just Google this and find out like all the list of games. One of the most recent examples, I guess it's not really recent anymore now, come to think of it, Mario Kart 8's weird like that, because it feels recent, but it's not. But it is, but it's not. Some of the Yoshis, you can drive up to them. The ones that are just sitting on the edge is like spectators. If you can just, you drive up to them and you listen very carefully, because it's very faint, you can hear them humming Totaka's song standing on the edge of the track.
It's almost kind of creepy.
Yeah.
That's also even more meta because Totaka does the voice for Yoshi.
Oh my God. He's that guy. That's awesome. Oh
God.
That's a few layers deeper.
That's a serious Easter egg because you have to work for that one. Or at least listen for that one.
Yeah, you got to listen. Yeah. Turn the volume up, turn the music down.
Yep.
And it is very faint, very faint. Like, if you're not looking for it, if you just drive past, you'll never hear it. The only way you can find it is if you drive up to one of them, park, and sit there and listen very carefully.
Oh, yeah. While the race music is just blasting in your ear, that's all you can hear.
Shells flying everywhere.
Yeah.
You're trying to listen to this Yoshi sing. Hey guys, slow down over there. I'm trying to listen to this Yoshi.
Oh, you hear somebody with a star going past. Ba 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 ba. It's like, oh my God, I can't hear it.
I can't deal with these people.
Yep.
Who would ever do this, like, just in a race, randomly pull up to the side of the track and park while all the chaos is going on, just so they can listen to a Yoshi hum. I mean,
that's a speedrun percentage right there. Yep. That's what they do. Tataka percent. I've seen some speedruns where you just got to go give a dog, like, a pet. The first dog you can find in Breath of the Wild. If you can pet a dog, then you win the speedrun, and that's when the timer stops. So I'm sure there's got to be something for Tataka's theme.
No, the crazy speed run for Tataka's theme would be to find every instance of it in every game that it has been found in as fast as possible.
That's cool. I would watch that if they did that at the next speed run event. That would be really cool. Multi-game speed run. That's the evolution right there.
That would be nuts. Just a setup for it would be just nuts.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was all original, right?
It'd be really difficult to pull it off because, like, I think one of the games that it's in is like on the Virtual Boy or something like that. Yeah.
So that's the best part. You got to have a Virtual Boy set up on a table somewhere just for that one game, and then you got to go back to the N64 or whatever you're on.
I had to look it up because I was like, how many games is this in? It's in on almost every single console, one of which. The Nintendo 64 DD, Mario Artist Talent Studio.
Yeah, the basically the sequel to Mario Paint that nobody has ever played.
Yes, the canceled extension for the Nintendo 64. No, there's no way. There's no way that somebody's gonna. Well, I say that.
Oh, there's a way.
Oh, there's a always. Way.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a Japanese N64 that they paid like $500 to get. They're like, well, I just had to get it for the Mario Paint game,
and another $2,000 just for the expansion. Mm-hmm. Oh,
well, that's crazy. Yeah, that thing's always been so cool. I've always been interested in Ura Zelda and what they were gonna do with Ocarina of Time and some of the other like later releasing games in the N64 with that thing. Sort of off topic, but I've just always been really interested in
the DD. Oh yeah, I wish they would have kept going with this. I love mm-hmm. you. That. I mean, enjoying it years later, but that's for a different time.
So one more, I guess, point of discussion I really kind of want to get into here is how do you think Easter eggs should be used in game development in the future? Like, what could they do with Easter eggs to really make gaming a much more interesting experience?
Oh, that's a really good one. And I have a really good answer almost immediately. My thoughts turn to Elden Ring, the big recent release that came out.
And this all is of something I was kind of thinking myself. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's chocked full of references. And it's and not even just references, but the Easter eggs inside there and the references inside the Easter eggs. And it's crazy the amount of layers because it's not technically a Dark Souls game. So anything to do with Dark Souls or Demon Souls is sort of already an Easter egg if you can find it. And then it's also based off of an old manga and anime called Berserk that also kind of influenced Dark Souls and Elden Ring. And then there are characters and weapons inside Elden Ring that are directly referencing Berserk as well. So it's sort of like its own kind of perpetual reference Easter egg machine in the same way that the Alien movies inspired Metroid games and then Metro games inspired Dead Space games and Dead Space games have references to Alien movies. So it's very interesting. And then an Alien game came out that was kind of referencing each other there. So I know I'm more talking about references than Easter eggs, but I guess that's where I want to see Easter eggs change a little bit. I want to see them actually be a little less referential. And it's amazing to have them referential, of course. That's always something that you can just point to and be like, oh my god, that's the assassin that jumped, and it's Witcher, it's crazy. But I'd like to see more Easter eggs like the Tataka's theme and sort of these more cryptic ones. And maybe they are there. It's just no one's found them yet. That's the craziest part. Is maybe there are some really secret Easter eggs in very well beloved games just haven't seen yet.
That's true. People do find Easter eggs in games years and years sometimes after their release. There's probably tons of Easter eggs out there in games that have never been found yet. Mm-hmm. That, you know, who knows when we'll ever find out about them.
maybe never. Maybe there are some that are never going to be found. And that's crazy.
And you know there's like some developer out there that's just got to like, they're never going to find that. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not unless you're specifically looking for it. If you're like doing what is that? Boundary break, where you're actually physically going through walls. You're doing like this free camera, free roam mode, and you're specifically looking for things that are not where they should be. But that's some dedication. But I think you hit it right on the head there. They're fishy. I think, you know, it's cool that there's a lot of references out there. It's cool that they're referencing other games in some of these games. That's cool. That's nice. It's a nice touch. But make it less. I agree. Make it less reference material and more just like, yeah, make it more cryptic. Make it more like exactly like Tataka Song. You know, it's just spread amongst other games where it's something that you seek for. It's kind of the same thing, or something that makes you kind of dig a little bit into games, say, oh, hey, he has some influence here. He has influence here, you know, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. 100%.
Or maybe it's something that if you really have to work for it, how about something that makes the game a little bit more interesting, maybe a little bit more fun, like having that little bit OP weapon, you know, like in Borderlands, you have like, what is it? The finger gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do a couple Easter eggs and hey, you got this finger gun that does some extreme damage, or like on Macon Beach where you get the ray gun right away in the first mission of the game, you know, things like that. But
yeah,
I agree, the references to some of the other games, yeah, that's just
it's cool.
I'd like to see less. It's exactly, it's cool, but I agree with you. I'd like to see less of it.
Yeah,
and, it's not that you want to see those necessarily go away so much as it'd be nice to see things that do have more thought put into it. And
yeah,
kind of what I was alluding to when I said, you know, you brought up Elden Ring. It's like, I think you're thinking kind of down the same path that I am, is that, you know, we're seeing a lot more open world games these days. Mm-hmm. And a good way to fill out those worlds, to make them kind of make the exploration feel like it means something, is through adding Easter eggs to find throughout those open worlds. Mm-hmm. Things that aren't just out in the middle of the open, but that you really do have to go, you know, search deep to find them, that are off in like really strange places that you're not going to just find when you're on your way from point A to point B. Like, you really have to go off the beaten path to find these.
Well, I agree. I think the harder they are to find, the more special it is when you do find it. And Elden Ring's another perfect example of that. It's a game that is extremely hard, but extremely rewarding because of that. And I think that's a very good comparison to what Easter eggs are the most exciting. It's the really crazy ones, the ones you hear about online, and you'd be like, I could never get that. I would never have found that out. But I'm really glad they did that. And it's really cool. And it adds another layer of mystery and intrigue to some games. Even if a game doesn't have an Easter egg, knowing that some games do means I'm always checking for them in every game, and I think that adds to the experience for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, unfortunately, guys, I think we're running out of time, but this has been a lot of fun. I think we could probably go on for another hour, maybe even longer, talking about this. I certainly have several other Easter eggs in mind that we could talk about, but unfortunately we just don't have the time to talk about all of them. But this has been great. Thank you both so much for coming on here.
Oh, absolutely. It's an absolute pleasure. Always so cool to talk about games with like-minded individuals. It's maybe my favorite thing to do ever. It's so much fun, and I will always have something else to bring to the table. I always want to talk more and more and more and get some more insights and perspectives. So I'm always ready. And your podcast is amazing. So thank you for having me here. And I love being a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Love being a part of this. And I think video games just create such an awesome discussion, whether it's Easter eggs or just like you were saying, like-minded individuals just talking about things that they liked in the games that they have in common. Or even things that they don't know that they want to learn about, just newer games, you know?
But absolutely love being here. Absolutely love the discussion that we had today. And just as always in the future, it's just, it's always awesome to talk about games.
All right. Before we wrap up, is there anything you guys would like to promote? You're both Twitch streamers, so, you know, shout out those Twitch channel URLs and, of course, any other social media or anything else you want to promote.
Yeah, absolutely. I am Fishy956 on everything, so it's very simple for me. That's my main platforms are Twitch, of course, is where I do all my streaming, and I do most of my posting on Discord and Twitter. So, yeah, jump on. You'll find my Twitch stream, and all the links will be in the About section there.
Same here. My Twitch is JermoBlah. It's the same for everything else. Twitter, Instagram, Discord. I guess it's all the same there. Makes it very easy. But yeah, you'll find me on Twitch primarily, and slowly starting to add stuff to YouTube. Trying to do some more speedrun stuff.
So. I'm gonna follow you right now, Jermo.
Doing the same with you.
Yeah, marketing works.
Yes.
So definitely go follow both of them. They're both an absolute pleasure to watch live on Twitch. The energy they both brought here on this podcast, they have them on their streams. They have that there. So if you want more from both of them, seriously, go follow both. They're both fantastic. And of course, if you want to follow us at All The Gaming One on Twitter. If you want to follow me personally, at Insanikit. And, you know, come like our Facebook page, All The Gaming. Come join our Facebook group. Come join our Discord server. Come join in on the discussion. It'll be fun, like, listening to this, except you can participate, of course. Go back, check out all of our past episodes on all the major podcasting platforms. And yeah, that's about all we have time for this week. But thanks everybody for watching or listening. And
thanks,
we'll see you next time.
Watching.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I ruined the end there. I can't say it. I have to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know
why I messed that up this time. I always get that right. But I am tired, so forgive
Fair
me. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Take care, everyone.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's just out there and I'm biting my tongue so hard.
He's putting us on the do not bring back list.
Yeah.
it's cool. I am not editing that out either. I'm gonna leave all of it.